We'll listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers, the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
And now PJ's proudly presents 20 Lopez.
Let me hear a little hand clapping now.
I'd like to be in America, okay by me in America. Everything's free in America, or I'd be more fit in America. Automobiles in America, Romeo steel in America, wires for wheels in America, everything still in America. The city of San Juan. I know a boat you can get on. Everyone there will give big cheer. Everyone there will have moves. Yeah. I'll drive my Buick through San Juan. If there's a road you can drive on, I'll give my cousins a free ride. How you fit all of them inside? If my friend goes to America, many hellos in America, nobody knows in America, Puerto Rico's in America. I like the shores of America, comfort is yours in America, knock on the doors in America, walk to walk floors in America. I'd like to go back to San Juan. Why don't you shut up and get gone? I'll bring a TV to San Juan. If there's a current to turn on. To be in America, okay by me in America, everything free in America, for us more peace in America.
Oh, let me hear everybody now. Here we go.
La 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 la.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce an international star, the great Trini Lopez. Trini, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for having me on.
Radio stations who never played album cuts were playing America. And I kind of wondered why that was never a single.
It was a single in different places.
But not really released nationally, I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't released by Reprise as a single, but it was released as a single in different parts of the world.
And it was from West Side Story, of course.
Yeah.
And we got to give credit to Leonard Bernstein writing the music.
Yes,
and
what a great song.
And Stephen Sondheim writing
the
lyrics. And I must admit, Trini, that I heard that recording of America before I ever heard your first big hit, which was If I Had a Hammer. But right now, let's go back to the beginning of your story. Your story is
It's truly, really, a rags-to-riches story, isn't
it?
Yes, it is. Because you started out, and you were really, there's no other way to put it, you were poor.
Yes, I was.
Tell me a little bit about your parents.
My parents were from Mexico, and they both came from Moroleón, Guanajuato, which is a real interior small town in Mexico. And they came to America when my dad was 18 and my mother was 16, and they came to America illegally and over the Rio Grande. And because of them, my sisters and me, we were all born in Dallas. And that's what I think saved my situation about wanting to be a name in show business, because otherwise I don't think I would have made it in Mexico.
You were a poor boy from Dallas, Texas, and
right. You
had barely enough food for the family. Parents had to get whatever work they could, I guess, right?
Yes, my father and my mother never went to school, and they were nearly orphans by the time they were 8. And they grew up without parents, and they never had the opportunity to go to school. And then they came to America to better their lives, and they, of course, no education. And so they just worked day and night. My father had 3 jobs a day to support us, and I had 4 sisters, and I have a brother. So it's 4 girls and 2 boys.
Wow, so it's a lot of mouths to feed, as they say.
Here we go.
Now, I understand that a spanking on the part of your father actually changed your life. Tell us about that spanking and tell us what it led to.
I was running around with some pretty bad characters when I was a kid, and they were getting into all kinds of mischievous situations. I was born and raised in a black and a Mexican ghetto in Dallas. It was a real tough place. A lot of my friends that I used to run around with, they were killed by the police. A lot of them ended up in prison and all that, and I was getting in trouble, you know, around my town and stuff. And my father found out about it, and he said, I want you to stop running around with those guys, you know. On the 3rd time that I did not listen to him, he took his belt off and gave me a real good whipping. But, you know, the next day, he felt very bad that he hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So he stopped at a pawn shop, and he couldn't afford what he did, but he bought a $12 guitar. And, you know, I guess because my dad was a singer.
Yeah.
My dad was a singer in Mexico when he was young. He was a musician, he was an actor, and a dancer. I guess he figured music would be a way out. You know, I'm sure he thought that. He says, son, he says, look what I got for you. He said, I'm sorry that I hit you, but I want you to learn something constructive. So he opened his little guitar case. I saw this guitar, and I said, oh, my God. I said, guitar? He said, yeah. I said,
wow.
I'm going to teach you all the songs that I used to sing when I was a kid.
Wow.
When I was your age. And he did. And he taught me a little bit about the guitar. And I grew up learning really by myself. He taught me all the songs. You know, interesting, Ronnie, later on in my life, when I started recording at the age of 20, I started recording when I was 18. But when I first started recording for a big label, which is Frank Sinatra, 23, 24.
Right.
So what I did is I recorded all the songs that my dad taught me when I was a young boy. And would you believe? They became international hits for me.
What were some of the, just a couple of those songs?
Okay. Bésame Mucho, Solamente Una Vez, Amor, Cuando Caliente el Sol, La Bamba, and many, many more.
By the way, did Ritchie Valens write the song La Bamba?
No, no one knows who wrote La Bamba. My father told me the story about La Bamba. La Bamba was written around the 1920s, and no one knows who wrote it. And the song just, you know, developed into a standard. And I was very upset when I heard it on the radio one day, because I had been singing La Bamba long before Ritchie Valens. I was about 5-7 years older than Ritchie. I was singing La Bamba in Dallas, in my little nightclub act, and my all the different shows.
Before it ever went on the radio by Ritchie Valens.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was,
wow.
But only locally in Dallas. I said to myself, oh, darn it. I said, somebody beat me to it. But, you know, I think La Bamba was supposed to be my song. Because about a year later, not even a year later, he died with my friend Buddy Holly. When I got to Hollywood and everything, I used to sing it. And that was one of my main songs on my show that I used to do at all these nightclubs in Hollywood. Before I started recording for Sinatra, I recorded it and I made it an international hit. Instead of just in America and 2-3 countries, I made it internationally.
Music has certainly, over the years, become international, and you're talking about, in your case, selling records in dozens and dozens of countries. It's
yes, you know,
amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ronnie, because a lot of singers, I could name you a dozen in 2 seconds, but I won't.
Uh-huh.
They record a song or two, and they become a pretty good hit in America, top 10, top 20, whatever.
Right.
And maybe Canada, and that's about it. Maybe England, maybe. But, you know, when I started recording and Sinatra's Reprise Records started putting out my albums, I got them licensed. Seas all over the world
yep.
overnight. When If I Had a Hammer came out, within 4 or 5 months, he was number one in 38 countries.
Yep, that's right. Only number three in the United States,
only
but number one. We're going to get to that in a moment. But you mentioned Buddy Holly. Buddy became your friend for a while, right?
Yeah, I was at a little nightclub in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is about 3 hours, 4 hours from Dallas. He saw me. He was there promoting one of his new records at that time. I think it was Pegasus. And he liked me a lot, and he meet me. So a friend of mine was with him, a guy from Dallas who became a big record producer later in his life. He was a disc jockey at this time in Wichita Falls, Texas, and his name was Snuff Garrett.
Oh, yes. The legendary producer eventually.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
At that time, he was a small-time disc jockey in Wichita Falls, and Buddy Holly went there to do Snuff Garrett's radio show. So Snuff introduced me to Buddy. They went to see me, and Buddy wanted to meet me. So he said, look, you know, I think you're really good. I said, would you like to meet my record producer? And I said, yeah, you kidding? He says, well, if you can get yourself to Clovis, New Mexico, I can introduce you, and maybe we can get you a record deal. I said, oh, my God, you know. Right. I couldn't believe it. So I think within a month or so, I packed my little Woody station wagon with my five guys in my band. I had already had a five-piece band plus myself. And I got over there. Unfortunately, Norman Petty was a little bit of a redneck. He took my name too lightly. He didn't like the name Lopez. In those days, Ronnie, Lopez was not in vogue like it is today with Mario and Jennifer. So it didn't work out for me. The only thing that did work was a night when I was there. I was there about 3 or 4 days. And my guys in my band, they got jealous because Buddy Holly liked me and we were supposed to record. And would you believe that they didn't want me to sing? They said, no, we don't want you to sing. We just want to do instrumentals. And it was my band. It was Trini Lopez and his combo. So the only thing that happened that was good on that trip, I sang one night at a party when I first got there, and the crickets liked me. They liked my singing. They liked my style. So when Buddy got killed, not too long after that, Doug Garrett called me from Hollywood. He says, Trini, he says, guess who wants you to come to Hollywood and be their lead singer? I said, who's that? He said, the crickets. And I said, wow. He said, they want you to take over Buddy's place and go on tour with them. And that's what got me to Hollywood, by the way.
Wow. But the crickets thing never really worked out, though.
That did not work out either, because the crickets were enjoying their money from all the royalties that they were making. You know, they wrote a lot of songs with Buddy, so they were getting real good money. And they were not in a hurry to work, and I was, because my parents needed my help financially.
Did you ever meet Ritchie Valens?
No, never met him. When I got to Hollywood and I was with the Crickets, I got to meet Elvis. I got to party with the Everly Brothers. And one day, the Crickets took me to Ritchie Valens' house, and I met his mother. She showed me all his clothes and his guitars and stuff, but I never got to meet Ritchie.
Anyway, let me just remind people who I am. Everybody knows who you are. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am just delighted to be talking to Trini Lopez. And Trini, I actually did meet you in person when I used to work at the Concord Hotel on the social staff, and you performed in the big room called the Imperial Room.
Yeah.
And you did a fantastic show. I remember you got a couple of standing ovations, and everybody loved you.
Oh, thank you. You know, you're reminding me that I had met you.
It was so brief. You wouldn't remember me. I said, hello, Trini, nice to meet you. Me and everybody else, but what a show you put on. It was just...
Thank you.
64 or 65,
yeah.
After you hit with Hammer. And we're going to get to that right now. We're going to kind of bring the story up to the point where you got your big break. How did you get to work at a club called PJ's?
When everything did not work out with the cricket, I only had $200 in my pocket. Now my $200 are gone, and I needed to work, so I noticed that they were just taking their time, and I needed to get going. I asked their agent,
said,
if you can find a gig for me, maybe I can work and make some money so I can send some money to my parents. Well, the guys decide what they're going to do. And would you believe that I got a job for 2 weeks, and the crickets never did anything, and I stayed at this beautiful nightclub in Beverly Hills called the Ye Little Club. It was Y-E Little Club. It was an English pub, beautiful, in the heart of Beverly Hills. I was booked for 2 weeks. I stayed a year, and it was there that I got a big following. I was being reviewed by the Hollywood Reporter, Variety Magazine, which was national. I started to get a lot of very nice reviews about my show. By the way, I was only playing with my guitar. I didn't have a group. They wouldn't get me a group. It was just me and my guitar.
So you were the entire combo.
I was the combo. Yeah, so what happened, I got a big following, and I kept hearing about this PJ. So would you believe that they wanted me, and they got me for 3 months, and I stayed a year and a half? And I wanted to see all the big Hollywood echelon there, because they were the cream of the crop. Sinatra, Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, big Hollywood royalty.
Tell us a little bit about what PJ's is, or was. I don't know if they still exist.
No, it's no longer there. It was there for quite a while, maybe 3 years or so.
How big a club was it?
It was a good size. You walk in, and there was a long, long bar, and there was an Afro-Cuban a combo there playing as you walked in. And then you kept on going, and in the back was a big room, fitted about 200-300 people. And when I started working there, I realized that that was the place to be, because I used to read and I used to hear that Frank Sinatra was hanging out there. I said, oh my God, Sinatra's always been my idol. One day I'll get to even just look at him and see him in person.
Were you working with a group at PJ's?
I was all by myself.
All by yourself.
In this big room, about 300 people. Right. And thank God, man, it worked. Just me and my guitar with my amplifier. And I had him going crazy.
You're working at PJ's, and I believe it was Don Costa who saw you there, the well-known producer.
Yes. He was sent by the Sinatra people to talk to me, and they offered me an 8-year recording contract.
Just like that?
First of all, I couldn't believe that he wanted to talk to me. I was ecstatic. I knew all about Don Costa, you know.
Yeah.
He was already producing, Ronnie, Johnny Mathis, Frank Sinatra, Steven Needy, all these people.
Wow.
He said, we'd like to record you, give you a contract, and we'd like to record you here. I said, where? He said, here at PJ's.
Wow.
And I said, here. And he said, yeah. I said, why do you want to record me here? Why don't we go into a studio like everybody else? He said, because we want to create all of the excitement that you're creating here live, and
wow,
we want to put it on wax. I said, well, that makes sense. I said, okay. So I said, how are we going to do this? I said, well, I'll have a remote truck out in the back lot, in the parking lot.
Okay.
I'll be in there with an engineer, and you just do your shows. And I used to do 4 or 5 shows a night.
So that's actually how the first album ultimately came about. It was a series of these recordings that
they
made?
Yes, it was. I just said, Don, what do you want me to do? He said, just do your shows. We'll cover everything. You know, they had a microphone for my voice, a microphone for my guitar on amplifier. And one time, I think I had a drummer.
Right.
Put one microphone on the drums. Nothing was too modern in those days. No new technology, you know.
How many nights a week were you working, PJ?
6 nights a week. It's off on Mondays.
The album that became Trini Lopez at PJ's, did you say, okay, we're going to take 1 or 2 nights to record this as like specific shows?
Yeah, Don said, we're going to just do your show, then we'll do it again tomorrow night.
I see.
And then we'll take the best of what we want.
Now, we opened the show with America from West Side Story. And that was one of the songs that was on your Trini Lopez at PJ's album. But the one that made you a really big star, an overnight sensation, was, of course, If I Had a Hammer. A song written back in 1949 by a couple of members of the Weavers, namely Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes. 13 years later, it was popularized, of course, by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Peter, Paul, and Mary recorded it, and I heard it on the radio. People asked me, why did you record If I Had a Hammer? I said, because I just happened to like the melody.
Yes.
And I like the lyrics very much.
Here's a little bit of Peter, Paul, and Mary's version of If I Had a Hammer.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning. I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd a hammer out of danger. I'd a hammer out of warning. I'd a hammer out of love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
And now, the one that became the biggest hit version of all. Number 3 in the United States. Number 1 all around the world.
Right.
Would you like to introduce it right now? What are we going to play right now?
All right, everybody, on the Ronnie Allen Show, this is Trini Lopez, and here is my biggest record of all time, If I Had a Hammer.
In the morning, a hammer in the evening, all over this land. A hammer out of danger, a hammer out of warning, a hammer about the love between my brothers and my sisters.
even all over this land. I ring out danger, I ring out a warning, I ring about the love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. My brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Ooh, ooh. I've got a hammer and I've got a bell. I've got a song to sing all over this land. The hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom. It's the song of my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. All over this land. Ooh, all over this land. Yeah, all over this land. Yeah, 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 yeah.
If I had a hammer, Trini Lopez. I've heard that hundreds of times. I will never get tired of it. It just is so exciting. And the thing that occurred to me as I was just listening to that is, you know, Johnny Rivers was doing live recordings about starting in 1964, about a year after If I Had a Hammer. I've been wondering, was Johnny Rivers inspired by Trini Lopez?
I would say yes, because he used to come see me every night.
Okay.
Just about every night, yeah.
Right.
And he would hang out and watch me like an eagle, you know.
Oh.
And then what happened, when I left PJ's to go on with my life and my career,
yes.
He got a job there.
Oh, really?
He got a job there, yeah, doing the same thing I was doing.
Oh, man.
And he lasted only about maybe a month.
Oh, gee.
And they let him go. But then he clicked with Mickey Jones, my drummer.
Oh.
He took
your drummer?
My own drummer, yeah.
Oh,
he
my
gave me
goodness.
More. He gave him more money.
Okay.
And you know the old saying, money talks.
Money talks. So money talked and the drummer walked. Basically.
So he took Mickey, my drummer, and went to the Whiskey A Go-Go. And he clicked with 2-3 songs.
Yes, he did. That's a few songs. Yes, he sure did. Kansas City was the follow-up to If I Had a Hammer, and that was also part of the set that you did at PJ's?
Yeah, let me tell you, the one that also was a big hit at that time all over the world, right after If I Had a Hammer, La Bamba clicked big all over the world.
Yes, we're going to play La Bamba. Actually, it wasn't until 1966, I have my little book here, that La Bamba became a chart hit on the American charts.
America was always a little bit behind.
We're going to play your version of La Bamba in a few moments, but right now we'll do Kansas City. Any thoughts on Kansas City?
That was another hit for me right about that time. Let me tell you what happened as far as now regarding Kansas City. Those kind of songs, What Have I Got On My Own, and Michael Roy, You Brought Ashore, and Lemon Tree, those kind of songs. What happened was, my album at PJ's was such a big multi-million seller that Don Costa comes to me and says, Trini, we got to do another album at PJ's. I said, another one? He said, yeah. I said, why? Why don't we go into the studio?
You couldn't wait to get to the studio.
You had such a big hit, we got to do another one. Reprise wants another one right away. I was still working at PJ, so he just got the truck with the engineer, and they taped me 2 more nights, and out of that came Kansas City.
Oh, let's go to Kansas City now. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got the crazy little women there, and I'm Vine. I'm gonna be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby and my bottle of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I have to walk, I'm gonna fly there just the same. Yeah, Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Well, if I don't leave that woman, I know I'm gonna die. Gotta find a brand new baby, and there's the reason why. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. All right. But if I have to walk, I'm gonna fly there just the same. Yeah, Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. One more time. If I don't leave that woman, I know I'm gonna die. Gotta find a brand new baby, and there's the reason why. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was Kansas City, and Kansas City got to number 23 on the chart. Now, What Have I Got of My Own, I believe, was also a live recording.
Yeah.
But this was one that I had never heard prior to you doing that. Was this an original song?
That's an original song. I never did too many original songs, Ronnie, because I never used to get a lot of songwriters to bring me songs. All the songs were being given to Elvis Presley. In those days, yeah.
Well.
He used to get all the songs. And so what I did, I just did songs that I thought were good songs, and then I put my own spin into the songs, and I was very fortunate to get hits.
Let's listen to this one, What Have I Got of My Own, another big hit, and also from the PJ's sessions. This is Trini Lopez.
What have I got of my own? gold. Just give me one true love to be mine alone. Then I'll have all the things of my own, my own. What have I got of my own? My
Lopez, and what have I got of my own? Question mark, but there's no question mark on the label, I don't think. At any rate, I'm Ronnie Allen talking to Trini Lopez. We mentioned a couple of other songs. Let's listen to one of them right now. Michael was not a live recording, I believe.
No, that was not a live recording.
A studio
no.
recording.
No.
So you finally did get your way.
Oh, yeah, I finally got to go to the studio, and I got lucky with songs like I'm Coming Home, Cindy.
Oh, we're going to play that. You're mentioning all the songs we're going to play.
All right.
But you're ahead of me.
I wrote that one.
You wrote Cindy?
Yeah.
We're going to get to that in a few songs from now. Let's hear a little bit of Michael right now. This one was, of course, a number one hit for the Highwaymen. This song actually went way before the Highwaymen ever did it. It was an old song.
It's an old song.
It actually had the title initially of Michael Row the Boat Ashore.
Right.
Highwaymen shortened it to Michael, and Trini Lopez kept that short title, and you had a pretty big-sized hit with it.
I did.
Michael Row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sails, hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sails, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. River Jordan, chilly and cold, hallelujah. Chills the body, but not the soul, hallelujah. Michael Row, the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael Row, the boat ashore, hallelujah.
Michael, and that one actually got to 42 on the chart, but you returned to the top 40. In fact, you returned to the top 20 with the follow-up to Michael, which was Lemon Tree.
Right.
So you picked another one out of the Peter, Paul, and Mary bag.
I did, but you know why? In those days, Ronnie, I started folk rock, but folk music was very popular in those days.
Well, it sure was, and that gives me an opportunity to ask, did you consider yourself primarily a folk singer? A rock singer? A folk rock singer? Did you have any
concept as to how you kind of branded your own music?
Not really. The business coined me as the folk rock pioneer. Also, Latin rock pioneer.
Right.
I started Latin rock also.
And the Hootenanny crowd embraced you as well.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of what you were doing was considered like part of that whole, let's have a Hootenanny type of a thing.
There we go.
Did you ever appear on the TV show Hootenanny?
Yes, I appeared on it when Jack Linkletter was the host of that show. And he had me do his show, Hootenanny, at UCLA University in L.A.
You appear on Bandstand, too, American Bandstand?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dick Clark had me on the show many times in Philadelphia and in Hollywood. Dick is a good friend of mine.
I'm going to mention one other person, Clay Cole.
Clay Cole, yeah.
You appeared on Clay's show?
Yeah.
Well, right now we're going to listen to your version of that song that we mentioned about a minute ago. This is Lemon Tree.
Said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree. Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Beneath the lemon tree one day, my love and I did lie. A girl so sweet that when she smiled, the stars rose in the sky. We passed the summer lost in love beneath the lemon tree. My father's words from me. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Whee! Whee! One day she left without a word. Took away the sun, and in the dark she left behind. I knew what she had done. She left me for another. It's a common tale, but true. Said a tale, but wiser now. I sing this song for you. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am so pleased to be talking with a man who is in just a moment going to be singing, not necessarily literally on the phone here, but going to play his record, I'm Coming Home, Cindy. Oh, I love that song. Tell me about that song, I'm Coming Home, Cindy.
I co-wrote it with a fella, Larry Cusick. I was in London doing the movie The Dirty Dozen, and we came about the idea. He said, Trent, I got these lyrics, and see what you can do with it. And so I put it together music-wise in about 2-3 days.
Of the ones we've played so far, I think this is going to be the first one that you actually wrote.
Yes, sir.
This one got to number 39 on the chart, and it's a Trini Lopez composition, and he's performing it, and this is I'm Coming Home, Cindy.
Plenty out in the evening breeze, sailed on ships from Mendeley to the China seas. But I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming on home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, and then I'll make you mine. true love lives in Natchez, and that's the way down south. Got me longing for a kiss from her pretty mouth. I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming on home. Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, and then I'll make you mine. Ringlets. She has a roving eye, and her voice is heavenly, sweet as apple pie. I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm gonna make you mine. So get the parson ready, I've got that wedding ring. When church bells start to chime, everybody sing. I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming on home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm gonna make you mine. One more time. Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming on home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm coming on home, Cindy, Cindy, I'm gonna make you mine.
I'm coming home, Cindy. Now, I know this doesn't apply to what you did at PJ's, because basically you just did the shows at PJ's, they were recording you, they took the best, but when you were in the studio, did you have to do a lot of retakes on songs?
Not too much. I'm pretty fast when it comes to recording, and I always did every song in 2-3 takes.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And maybe it's better that way, because then it's more spontaneous.
Spontaneous, and, you know, I'm so used to music. You know, I grew up with my very young age, you know, singing and playing the guitar, so it was never a big deal for me.
We're going to get to La Bamba now. We were talking about La Bamba before. This was actually part of the PJ sessions, right? La Bamba.
La Bamba.
But back then, it wasn't released in the United States as a single, right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was, but it was a big hit for me internationally.
Internationally. Like, it was huge.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to it right now. This is a recording that was actually made in 1963, but didn't become a chart record until 1966, when it was released by Reprise as a single. And here it is. This is La Bamba, and we'll make it part one.
Una boca de danza y otra cosita, y arriba, y arriba, arriba, y arriba, y arriba iré, por ti seré, por ti seré. Everybody now. Bam, 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 bam. Let me hear you now. Yo no soy marinero, no. Yo no soy marinero, soy capitán. Soy capitán, soy capitán. Bamba, bamba. Bamba, bamba. Bamba, bamba.
Oh, let me hear everybody now.
Bye.
was actually a part two, I assume.
Yeah, because I had a long version of it.
Oh, okay.
They had to do that, yeah.
I want to mention the names of some of your successful albums,
just
to give people an idea. I have to take a deep breath because I want to do like about maybe 15 or 20 of them. And I want you to listen very carefully, folks, because there's going to be a surprise quiz after I go through these. Here we go. Trini Lopez, live at PJ's. More Trini Lopez at PJ's by popular demand. The Latin album, the second Latin album, the love album, It's a Great Life. Trini Lopez in London, Trini Lopez now, Trini Lopez live at Basin Street East, Trini Lopez's greatest hits, Trini transformed by time.
Right.
And that one, if I recall correctly, was done with producer and musician Mico Minardo, who had his own number one hit with his souped-up version of the Star Wars theme.
He was very hot, so they wanted to do more of a modern-type album at that time when I recorded this album in New York, so that's why they called it Transformed by Time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And continuing right along with the best of Trini Lopez, that must have been difficult for people to try to pick out the best when there are so many. And more recently, I don't know how recently this was when this was written, but Trini Lopez's 25th anniversary album, but that must have been a few years ago. But you did the 25th anniversary, right?
Yeah, that was about maybe 12 years ago.
Yeah, this is an old, more recently, but okay.
It came out really well. I was very happy with that album.
You released the one we're going to close the show with. This is like the 64th album, El Immortal?
El Immortal,
El Immortal. By the way, I took Spanish in college, and I forgot almost all of it. I am so ashamed. I mean, I remember Muy Bien, that's about
Muy
it.
Muy Bien, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's the extent of what I know.
That.
And I took French in high school, and I forgot all my French, too.
Oh.
It's a good thing I remember what my name is, but actually I have that on a sheet of paper in case I forget.
That's a beautiful language. Spanish, and French.
Well,
they're two of the most beautiful languages in the world, I think.
Well, they're based on Latin. They're both based on Latin, the Romance languages. And I did took. I can't talk English now. You could say I took Latin too in high school. Before we get to a few more records, you were honored on the floor of Congress in Washington D.C. by Congressman Thomas Rees.
Congressman Thomas Rees of California bestowed me with that honor on the floor of Congress, yes, for a good ambassador of the United States to the world via my music.
Did you do a lot of touring in various countries?
I've been all over the world, Ronnie.
Do you have any estimate on how many countries you've been to?
I've been to all of them. I've been around the world about three times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and you still perform today, right?
Well, a little bit. I don't perform as much as I used to. The only thing I kept doing was record.
Word.
I kind of semi-retired in 1981.
You don't sound retired.
No, you
sound like you're ready to do another show tonight.
Yeah, man. I did a show right before Christmas in Miami.
So you do occasionally
perform. When the money is really good.
When the money is, well, it's you can't go back to PJ's. What happened to PJ's? They just tore it down?
It's interesting that you ask. When I left PJ's, Ronnie, plays... folded. Yeah.
And you mean Johnny Rivers couldn't save it?
He couldn't save it, and he went on to the Whiskey A Go.
He went to the Whiskey A Go.
And then within about 5-6 months, you know, they kept hiring all this kind of different big rock groups.
Yeah.
And nobody could save it. The place closed. It became a Mexican restaurant.
You know, I think I just came up with an idea for a great concept album. How about you and Johnny Rivers getting together, and then you sing some of his songs, and he sings some of your songs?
That's not a bad idea.
I think that would be great. Trini Lopez meets Johnny Rivers.
There we go.
Or Trini meets Johnny. You also have done loads of charitable work, and I'm just going to mention a few, and if you want to chime in with others, that's fine. The March of Dimes, Cancer Research Foundation, Diabetes Foundation, Boy Scouts of America, Variety Clubs International, many more. Anybody that you want to mention specifically that I didn't just mention?
My church in the poor part of Dallas, where I used to live, but then I, thank God with my career and my success, we moved up to North Dallas. But I've always helped my church in West Dallas. West Dallas is the real poor section of Dallas, and I have built them a church, and I have given them a beautiful organ for their church,
Their
services
great.
When they serve Mass. And I've always helped them.
So you are a charitable man, certainly.
I try to. true. I try to be.
That's great. You've been in a few movies.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned one of them. You were one of the Dirty Dozen.
I was the dirtiest.
You were the dirtiest of the dozen? 1967.
67, there you go.
Was the character that you played in Dirty Dozen, was his name Pedro?
Pedro Jimenez.
Pedro Jimenez, no relation to Jose Jimenez.
No relation, even though he's a friend of mine, Bill.
Oh, Bill Dana.
Yeah. And yeah. John Cassavetes coined me Jimenez, and everybody kept saying Jimenez, Jimenez, mayonnaise, mayonnaise. So they started calling me Mayonnaise.
Wow. But that was not your first film role. Your first film role was in Marriage on the Rocks?
Yeah, Sinatra put me in that movie when I was really hitting hot with my career, and he wanted me to be in this movie. And there's a song that I also helped write myself called Cinnamon.
It's funny you should mention that one, because I could say I have it on our turntable right now, but everybody will know I'm fibbing because we use CDs now. We don't use turntables.
Right.
But I'm
going
to play that song right now.
Great.
This is from that motion picture. Did people hear the entire song in the motion picture, Marriage on the Rocks?
Yeah, they did hear it in the motion picture. The song was only about 2.5 minutes.
Sinner man has a reputation. Sinner man known throughout the nation. Sinner man, that's his occupation. Yes, there's a sinner man.
There was a sinner man who loved and ran away. He had a different girl for every single day. He used to tell them lies and alibis. He'd just pretend, and in the end, he'd leave them there. He didn't care, because he was a sinner man.
Ha ha!
Sinner man had a reputation. Sinner man known throughout the nation. Sinner man, that's his occupation. Yes, it's a sinner man. And then he met a girl, as pretty as could be. He thought he'd break her heart as quick as 1, 2, 3. He didn't realize her flashing eyes would hypnotize. Did she surprise him? Could she be the girl who stole the heart of a sinner man?
Ha ha!
Sinner man has a reputation. Sinner man known throughout the nation. Sinner man, that's his occupation. Yes, he's a sinner man. The wedding day is planned. We're happy as could be. The pretty girl was you. The sinner man was me. La 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 la. 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 Repeat it for me, everybody. La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
Sinner Man by Trini Lopez, and you also starred in Antonio in the 1973.
Yeah, that was my first starring role in a movie.
And what did you play?
I played Antonio.
Oh, ask a silly question, Ronnie. Let me phrase it another way. What kind of a character was Antonio?
I was a real poor potter. I made pottery, little fishing village outside of Santiago, Chile. We did the movie all over Chile. Larry Hagman was my co-star.
Larry Hagman of Dallas fame?
I dream of Jeannie. He's from a town not too far from Dallas. He was born and raised in a little town called Weatherford.
And you also were on the TV show Adam 12?
Did a couple of those.
Tell me about Jack Webb, because I assume
he's... Oh, what a nice man. He was a big movie lover, by the way. He used to invite me to his home when he was married to Julie London. What a beautiful lady she was. And I remember he had the most beautiful sound system at his house. He used to throw some great parties, and he played all this music. He loved music. He loved records. And he had a great system in his house, a beautiful house.
And we also want to point out, Trini, that over the years you've hosted several TV shows, including a recent PBS special called Trini Lopez Presents Latin Music Legends. And some of those Latin music legends included Julio Iglesias, El Chicano, and Los Lobos, among others. I do want to mention one other thing here, which I'm just noticing. In the year 2003, you were inducted into the International Latin Music Hall of Fame.
Right.
Quite an honor.
That's quite an honor. I have had so many honors, Ronnie. The first annual Latinos of Distinction Award, I got two in L.A., and then I got some of them once during that time. Also, I got Las Vegas Casino Legends Hall of Fame.
And you also got a very special citation from the governor.
Lifetime Entertainment Achievement Award from Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor.
Impressive.
I also got a star in the Las Vegas Walk of Stars. And you know where they put my star, Ronnie?
Where?
They put it right in front of the first hotel I worked in Las Vegas, the Flamingo Hotel. And you know who opened the show for me in 1964 there?
Oh.
Bill Cosby.
As I think of all the things that you've told me, and I've played all of these records today, I come back to that spanking that you got from your father.
Yes,
and I wonder, if he had not spanked you, who knows if this would have happened.
You know, if he had not done that, I could probably not even be talking to you.
Well, Trini, we're going to go to the final portion of our show right now, and I want to play a couple of tracks from El Immortal.
Okay.
And I love your rendition of Guantanamera.
All right.
Now, that was a hit song for...
Sandpipers, I think.
Yeah.
What that was another international hit for me, too.
Yeah, so we want to point out that a lot of these records, don't just look at the American charts, go to the international charts. You have probably, over the years, made a lot more money from your international sales than even American sales.
I always have, Ronnie. I always have. This is very interesting, I think. Since the beginning of my career in 63, I have always gotten more royalties, always 30-40% more royalties from all over the world instead of America. Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's always been that way for me, more international than national.
Well, for whatever the reason, you're not going to knock it.
No, I'm not going to knock it.
We also want to mention that your cover of, now how do you pronounce this, Cielito Lindo?
Cielito Lindo?
That's right. Your cover of that song.
My dad taught me.
And it was used in the film.
Yes, it was used in a movie that was a big hit, thank God. Born on the 4th of July with Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. What is this? Your Live at PJ's album was featured in the November 1966 Playboy centerfold. Playmate Lisa Baker is using it for support.
Oh, was she a fan?
I guess so. I'm just reading this.
Yes,
this is in Wikipedia, so I don't know.
In 1966, was she the Playmate of the Month or the Year?
Oh, I don't know, but she was there.
Well, we need to find out.
We're going to find out. We're going to get to Guantanamera. This is your rendition of it. You did this recently. When was this El Immortal done?
That was done last year.
This is recent Trini Lopez.
That's more recent Lopez.
Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma. Yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma. Y antes de morir me quiero echar mis versos del alma. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Mi verso es de un verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es de un verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es de un cielo herido que busque en el monte enfado. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira.
my sincere man from the land of the palm tree. But before dying, I wish to pour forth the poems of my soul. My verses are soft, soft green, but also a flaming red. My verses are like wounded fawns seeking refuge in the forest. I want to share my fate with the world humble. A little mountain stream pleases me more, more than the ocean.
Hey! Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera, Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera.
I want to just say from the bottom of my heart, I thank you, and on behalf of myself and the Jersey Girl Sing website, on behalf of Denise and Bernadette, who run that website and who generously allow my radio shows to be a part of that website, and of course, to all your fans throughout the world, I just got to tell you, folks, this has been one of the easiest interview shows I have ever done. Trini, you're a delight, and I wish you many, many more years of success and happiness.
Well, Ronnie, you're a nice guy, I can tell, and I also had a great time with you, and I want to thank you for your time, and I want to just have you say hello to all your fans that are listening to you out there. My best regards from me, too, and I want to wish everyone a great new year.
Trini, we're going to close the show right now. This version of Sugar Sugar, in fact, this entire CD, El Immortal, was produced by Mr. Ron Dante, who was, of course, Archie on that record, Sugar Sugar.
Yeah.
And he was also the Cufflinks.
That's
he was
right.
also a member of the group called the Detergents.
He used to do a lot of commercials. Ron Dante is very responsible for having a lot of hits with Barry Manilow.
Absolutely. Anyway, tell me about the Spanish version of Sugar Sugar.
Ron wanted me to get lyrics to do that song. And he said, you know, something different. I don't remember exactly how we got the lyrics. I don't know if I helped write some of them. I don't quite remember right now because it's been about a year ago now that we did it. But it came out really good, and it's a different version of Sugar Sugar.
En Español.
En Español.
Sugar. My candy girl, and you've got me wanting you. Oh, honey, oh, sugar, sugar, you are my candy girl, and you've got me wanting you. Yo siempre he querido una mujer como tú, dulce, dulce como tú. Quiero que me quiera como yo te quiero a ti, como yo te quiero a ti. Sugar, oh honey, honey, you are my candy girl, you've got me wanting you. Oh honey, oh sugar, sugar, oh you are my candy girl. Cuando te empecé a sentir lo dulce que eres tú, dulce, dulce que eres tú. Quiero que me abraces y me des todo tu amor, y me des todo tu amor. Got me wanting you. Honey,
to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.